Asia Lens is a series of free public film screenings and lecture discussion programs organized by the Asian Educational Media Service and Spurlock Museum here at U of I. The Asian Educational Media Service is an outreach arm of the Center for East Asian and Pacific Studies at the university. Its mission is to promote the understanding of Asian cultures and peoples through media. The series is presenting recent documentary films on issues reflecting contemporary life in Asia, with local and visiting experts here to introduce the films and lead post-season discussions, post-screening discussions, that'd be. The screenings are held on the first Tuesday of the month and this coming Tuesday, October the 5th at 7 o'clock. The film 1428 will be presented. It documents the aftermath of the magnitude 8 earthquake in China's Sichuan province that caused tens of thousands of deaths and hundreds of thousands of casualties, injuries, in May of 2008. The film won Best Documentary at the 2009 Venice International Film Festival, and it's currently on a tour of colleges and universities throughout the United States. And here on Tuesday to present the film and to lead the subsequent discussion will be Kevin Lee, who is Vice President of Degenerate Films. It's a new company, small d, capital G-E-N-E-R-A-T-E. It's a company that's working to distribute independent Chinese films in the United States. And earlier in the day on Tuesday, Kevin Lee will also be having an illustrated lecture on the history and the current state of independent filmmaking in China. It is also open to the public. And both events will be at Spurlock Museum, 600 South Gregory in Urbana. And Kevin Lee joins us on the phone now. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Well, thank you much for coming on the air to talk to us a little about what's coming up Tuesday. And also, we'd like to learn a little about your company and its mission.
Sure. Well, Degenerate Films was started just a couple years ago by myself, Karen Chin, the president, and Brent Hall. We are a New York-based company. Our mission is to make the independent Chinese films that have been produced over the last 10, 15 years more available and accessible to a wider audience in North America. And we currently have about 30 titles representing some of the best independent films being made in China. And we specify independent films because these are films that are underfunded, that are made outside of the official state system of film production and censorship. And for those reasons, we feel like these films really present a unique, penetrating look at what's really going on in China today.
Mm-hmm. And you related to the fact that this is outside of the officialdom, the censorship of the government. One of the things you'll be talking about is the progression of independent filmmaking in China. In your lecture at 3:30 on Tuesday. Can you give us a brief overview of that right now?
Yeah, well, you know, I think most people in the United States, when they think about Chinese film, Zhang Yimou, who's kind of like the leading figure of Chinese cinema the last 20, 30 years, and the fifth generation filmmakers who initially made these very controversial films that sort of symbolically questioned the Chinese government, but then they've, you know, over the course of the past 10 or 15 years, they've become more and more absorbed into the mainstream, to the point that, you know, Zhang Yimou, who used to be this outcast who was banned from making films, was responsible for the opening ceremonies of the Beijing Olympics, which was a huge, you know, success for the government in presenting the country in the best possible light. So what's happened is another wave of filmmakers from the mid-90s and onward have taken it upon themselves to show, to kind of take up the mission of showing China in an accurate, realistic, and you know, questioning light with a greater degree of realism, showing the actual way, the details that affect people's lives, how social policies passed by the government affect people on a day-to-day basis. So I'll be talking about that, giving some representative examples of some of the best achievements of these types of films. And then in the evening, we'll be showing 1428, which is really a wonderful documentary that exemplifies so much of what's unique and important about these kinds of films.
And that was going to be my question. What is it about 1428? How does the film 1428, which again is about that magnitude 8 earthquake in 2008, how does it tell a story that's different from what we learned in our traditional coverage of it?
Sure. So when you look at how the mainstream media in China dealt with this earthquake, it was by and large this narrative of tremendous heroism. I mean, you kind of compare it to what happened in 9/11 and how the media really, you know, kind of indulged in all these stories of heroism and you know, and you can imagine that multiplied by 100, and you would get a sense of the degree to which the Chinese government made this tragedy into an incredible story of heroism and national solidarity and patriotism that, you know, thousands of people came from all over the country to save the victims of this earthquake that killed about 70,000 people and injured about 375,000 more. But what Du Haibin did, which is sort of the natural impulse that a lot of these filmmakers share, is they have a natural sort of skepticism towards the media, because the media in China skews towards these sort of uplifting, propagandistic messages. And so he went to the disaster site himself just a few days after the earthquake happened. He brought his camera. He pretended to be a media, you know, affiliate, and that gave him a lot of access to what was really going on at the time. But in reality, he was just capturing footage just for himself, for his own purposes, just to see what was really going on. And you see a lot of chaos, a lot of disorganization, both in the relief efforts and just the efforts of people, the victims, trying to salvage what was left of their lives, trying to figure out some way to make a living, selling whatever possessions they had. And it was really, it's really this this incredibly absorbing and unsettling situation that he captures with sort of unmitigated directness. And then he goes 300 days later, not, you know, he wasn't out just to capture the immediate aftermath, but really to show the long-term impact that this earthquake had on this region and the degree of success that the relief efforts orchestrated by the government had for these people. So you really get a long view of, you know, this disaster and its aftermath and its social impact on these people. And I think in that respect, it has a universal relevance, because when you think about the past year, there have been so many natural disasters that have occurred, you know, in Haiti, in Chile. And so, you know, you can't help but think about this movie, watching this movie, and think about, you know, similar situations, you know, the BP oil spill and how it's affected residents in that area, and both the media coverage and how the media spins disasters, what sort of narratives the media picks up on, and versus what's actually going on the ground level.
Mm-hmm. And with especially, I would imagine, some countries, and China being one of them, where the government is obsessed with controlling the message that gets out, even though we do get a different message beyond their control, you get an image of independent filmmakers sneaking shots. In this case, you said Du Haibin had pretended to be part of the mainstream media, you know, covering it at the official media that was let in, but sneaking shots, smuggling film canisters out of the country. Is that pretty much how it has to go to do this industry, to make the independent films and get them out? And do they?
Yeah, by and large.
And do they face sanctions? Does someone like him, is he facing, you know, the possibility of sanctions, as this film has shown here?
It's a very strange situation that I probably wouldn't be able to explain, you know, in the time I have.
Yeah, but Tuesday you can. Yeah.
Yeah. Yes. And I hope people will come to find out more. But what I can say is, you know, there is this subculture that has kind of grown, and it's not just related to independent filmmakers, you know, journalists, bloggers. There is this subculture of independent media that has really benefited from the resources that living in the digital age allows you. You know, access to the internet and being able to share information that way, making films with handheld, you know, consumer level video cameras and being able to burn DVDs fairly easily. And I think it's allowed for a proliferation of this type of work. And there's just so much of this going on that, you know, it's sort of impossible to kind of hold down the majority of it. You know, Do I Bing is a very resourceful person. I think it helps to have certain connections within the authorities. I know of filmmakers who, you know, are friends with government officials or police officers, and they've been able to make films showing, you know, instances of police abuse or, you know, brutality just because they have connections. So it's a really strange kind of paradox of, you know, it's not that these people are completely independent of the system. It's just that they're able to somehow work within the system, not necessarily with the system, but within the system through connections, and they're able to get these incredibly candid views of what's going on.
Kevin Lee, thank you very much for joining us today.
Thank you. It's my pleasure.
Kevin Lee is the vice president of Degenerate Films, a new company working to distribute independent Chinese films in the U.S., and he'll be here Tuesday with one of their films, 1428. It'll be screened and discussed Tuesday evening at 7 o'clock at Spurlock Museum, 600 South Gregory in Urbana, and Mr. Lee will be discussing the history and current state of independent filmmaking in China at 3:30 on Tuesday, also at Spurlock, and both events are free and open to the public.